Yeah, like, you know, when you swipe your card to pay for something, my app on the back end is making sure that it's being routed a certain way, that your numbers on your credit card are being encrypted into a token and then come back so that we don't see, you know, your credit card information and it's PCI compliant. Like, it's on the back end, but it's super important if you care about swiping your credit card at the Home Depot and not having...
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy HD, and we're back with another episode of the Textual Talk, episode 61. And we got a lovely guest for you all today. Her name is Courtney Walker, and she is a product manager. Y'all know what this is. This is your first time tuning into the Textual Talk. We talk about tech, lifestyle, music. We talk about everything, but also from a point of view of being a Black person in tech. You know, there's not many spaces like this out here, so that's what I want to create it for. And we're about to get into it very quickly. So without further ado, let's bring our guest up. All right, so we're trying something new today, guys. If you're listening right now on the podcast, far as Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you go and hit follow the podcast. And if you're on YouTube right now, hit the like button, share it out for the YouTube algorithm so we can, you know, let everybody see us. But we're going to start off with an icebreaker today. And I was trying to mull over these questions that I was going to give up for the icebreaker, but I think... you can probably tell the most out of people if I said favorite TV show. I think that's a good one to start off with.
Oh, easy. The Office.
No, it's funny. I've never really watched it. I know like some references from it, but I've never really watched it.
You can know the references if you haven't watched it.
I mean, it'd be some stuff that y'all be saying that I know from The Office. And granted, I started off in help desk, so it's kind of like, you know.
What's something that we say?
I don't know. I just know where some of you say, like, whatever the most popular thing is, I remember hearing somebody saying they say, oh, that's from The Office. Okay. Or those little memes and stuff. They, like, you know, really known for their memes. That was too easy, though. I thought you was going to actually, like, split some hairs over that one. All right, so.
Hands down.
All right, so R&B or rap?
R&B, that's safe.
Okay, it's safe. Why you want to go safe?
Well, is it like what I would prefer to hear or what, like, if I'm somewhere?
Yeah, what you prefer, like what you listen to more of?
Probably R&B, yeah.
Okay.
I had to be in my mood, like, you know, listening to rap. I had to get in my zone.
I feel you. All right, so top five R&B artists, male or female, it don't matter.
My favorite, I don't know. I listen to
You only got to top five. Who's your favorite?
I mean, I listen to so much like neo soul, R&B. Like, I love Toni Braxton. I love
You old school.
Yes, I like 90s R&B, like Joe, like Case, like 90s, you know. Trying to think, Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah,
I'm like older
R&B.
Okay, so I'm gonna put you on the spot right now. I know what my pick is, but I'm gonna see what you're gonna say. We got a versus. Drew Hill versus Jodeci. I got Drew Hill. Who you got?
I don't want to have Jodeci because I actually didn't care for Jodeci that much. So,
but I think they the only ones that match up. Like, see, a lot of people forget, like, versus kind of is about more legacy acts most of the time, and then if you came out around the same time, that's why versus makes more sense versus when they try to pit people that's like from different eras together, it doesn't work.
So what about like 112 and Jagged Edge?
Oh, that's a good one. I think, honestly, I'm going to give it to Jagged Edge. I think now people who's, well, you know what though? This is what I didn't learn. I can't just go off a catalog. I got to go off who's going to perform better. But I don't know if the members of 112 and all stayed in shape. I didn't see Jagged Edge been on some like recent, like new stuff recently. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably say them, but okay. You know, that's cool. That's cool. We're going to go ahead and get into this before we like start a whole, like these combos going to be like when I start doing the live streams, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Cause like they can go on forever. But, so who is Courtney?
I'm a lot of different things. Mostly I like to be a mystery, but I love to travel. I'm like a traveling homebody. I'm a mother. I love to cook. I love a good, you know, spa day. I'm just, you know, I'm a lot of things. I feel like I'm a millennial, but I'm, you know, right in between. So, you know, I got like an old soul kind of, yeah, I'm a lot of stuff.
Okay.
But like, cool, I love a
So this is another question then, cause I thought you was going to give it to us in the last question. So I'll do this then. Tell us about kind of like your early career and then, you know, what you transitioned to and then we'll pick up from there.
Okay. So, when you say early career, you mean like specifically in?
Kind of like my podcast, I always like to bring in people who pivoted from like whatever, something that's totally different from what they do now. And so it's kind of like, you know, where did you start? And then, you know, kind of what you got working up now.
Yeah. So I'm a product manager currently. I work for Home Depot. I started in higher ed like probably like 13 years ago. I shouldn't have said that. I want to date myself. Anyway, a while ago. And so I worked in higher ed for quite some time. I got my degree in communications. I enjoyed working in higher ed. I worked like on the collegiate level, like in, you know, admissions. I was a director of career services for a while. I got a lot of fulfillment out of like helping other people, you know, reach their goals to employment. But I also felt like I was reaching like a glass ceiling in a way. I kind of was getting burnt out after being in industry for, at that point, it was like 9 or 10 years. Okay. So the last company, well, school that I work for, I was a director of career services and I was using a certain software all the time that was actually like a software that was built to help students write their resume, find jobs, interview for jobs. It was able to like link with employers. It was kind of like a Indeed or something, but like for college level. And I thought it was really unique. And it was something that the software, like the company who made it, like they really marketed it to be like this cutting edge, you know, type of software for, you know, colleges. So I actually was like, hey, you know, I could maybe work here. And so once I realized that I was kind of like over just being in higher ed, I applied to work there and actually began working like as a partnership manager where I would begin selling that product to other community organizations, like other colleges, kind of like basically sales for them. And because
I would say like pretty much like tech sales,
basically sales. But because I was like a previous end user, I had that experience of, you know, really like knowing everything that the product did because I had used it for so long. So during the pandemic, actually, obviously, you know, I wasn't out like traveling around and, you know, doing sales and stuff so much anymore. And so we took that as an opportunity to begin kind of like really ramping the software up so that we can really kind of scope out the pain points of it. I didn't even know at the time, like that was an actual career that people did, you know, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is what I don't like about it. And this is when I was using it. This is what I struggle with. You know, I wish it did this, or, you know, I heard the students complain about using it and they didn't like that, you know, certain things. And the company is not a big company. So I had, you know, like face to face with the CEO and with the chief technical officer and things like that all the time. So in talking to them, you know, they were like, well, you know, we really value your experience and your opinion on it because you were an end user. So why don't you start helping us like with the data, you know, collecting data from, because they weren't, oddly enough, they weren't collecting like any data from the app. Like they were, there were no metrics. It was literally like build it, sell it. You know, when people would maybe, you know, hit us up and be like, hey, you know, would it do this or that? Somebody would fly out and, you know, like give them, you know, a lesson on it or something like that, but it was very base level. And so I'm like, well, why aren't we tracking this? You know, like, why don't we know what it does? Like, why is it that when we want to fix something, we don't know how to, you know, fix it or like what to fix? So I started really, and what almost kind of seemed like getting into like being a data analyst for the product at that point. But then starting to like have conversations with the engineers about things that I wish that it did, or, you know, having those kind of conversations and realizing like, I think there's a career that is here, but I don't know what it is that I'm doing. So after that, I actually kind of pivoted a little bit back into education, but still kind of ed tech. I began working for a software engineering bootcamp, where it's either 12 weeks or 9 months where students can go and learn full stack software development. And working there, I was not coding or learning how to code, but I was really like seeing the student through the full life cycle of becoming a software engineer. And so I was learning, you know, all about like agile and, you know, helping them, you know, with their job interviews and everything. And I'm like, okay, putting together this and also what I learned previously at the software company, I really think I figured out what it is that I want to do now. I think that's product management. I think it's like agile leadership, you know, Scrum. So I started looking into just different like avenues for how I could grow, and really started, you know, using social media and LinkedIn and things to try and see, you know, what it was that I was doing at that company, you know, at the software company, like what is this translated into a job? And really taking all those transferable skills and realizing like, okay, I got a lane here. So I did get a Scrum certification really to just help me kind of put the pieces together of like, you know, life cycle of software development. And I also got like a Scrum product owner certification as well. But there's really no certifications needed to be a product manager. You know, it's a lot about other things we'll get to, I'm sure, but you don't have to learn how to do it. And I know people ask me that all the time, like, oh, what's the cert for that? I'm like, you don't really need one. So I just kind of, I don't know, it just stumbled upon me.
Yeah, that's dope. The fact, cause I just had to let you cook cause you was cooking. Cause how you pretty much your progression of like saying, doing career service and saying, we using this software that I like, let me see what they're talking about, going from there, then just pivoting and finding your transferable skills. It's kind of one of the things I tell people about all the time when I'm having consultations with them, especially like, it ain't nothing you use at your current job that you don't think like you may be interested in, that you use like a lot that you possibly could be a subject matter expert on, you know, because most everybody, it's so much information out here right now. It's like you said, oh, what cert I need to get, or do I got to be technical, non-technical? Like nobody knows. Cause it's, you know what I'm saying? It's not uniform. Nobody's, you know, nobody's path. No, go ahead.
Now that is the one thing I tell people, because I have a lot of people reach out to me like, oh, you know, I'm considering transitioning to tech. And again, it's like tech, like this big, you know, bubble of stuff that they can do. But they're always like, what do you suggest? And I'm like, what do you do now? You know, like, what is there anything about what you do now that you would like to do and maybe build upon? Like, just you have to start there, because it's not, like I said, it's not a one size fits all. It's too many different lanes that you can go into. And I think the easiest lane, you know, and probably what's safer is, you know, to just build upon what you already know.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, like, really, so tech is like the whole umbrella, it's like the whole industry. And there's this thing, it's like some people aren't being honest. Like, they need to like let people know, like, hey, it's hard, but it's not hard. But it's not as hard if you're going non-technical, then you're going a technical route, because the technical route is going to require you to learn a lot of things and go up against people that maybe already, you know, experienced this. So that's one of the things. But then once you go to tech, then you can start filtering in all these different areas. Like with me, cybersecurity, I just made a post on LinkedIn the other day telling people, like, you know, I know y'all be saying, oh, I want to be a cybersecurity analyst, so I want to be a security engineer. I say, but honestly, those terms in themselves are very broad, that a cybersecurity analyst at five companies could be five different things. And I was like, so you really need to understand what's on those job descriptions and really know what you really want to do versus just going off for a term. And they'll say that way you actually be a little bit more effective at looking for roles, because you're not just looking at the name, you're looking at the contents of it. Because recruiters hit me up all the time in my inbox about some stuff, and I'm like, this don't like what that is. Like, so sometimes I'll ask them, hey, what does the hiring manager actually want for this role? because what's on here versus what you hit me about based on my skill set, what's on my LinkedIn, you know, the math ain't math in chief. So
yeah, all the time.
That's how we get in with them. Yep. But you know, enough about me because the people hear me talk all the time. So you pretty much have talked about, you know, you started tech sales, pretty much lack of better words. And so now pretty much product management. Let's talk about, I want to probably do three questions and I meant to put this down for you. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between product management and project management? And then based on that, once you describe those two, then you can tell us like what could be a typical, granted it's going to be different, but for you, a day-to-day of a product manager.
Okay. That's funny because when I saw the questions you had and one of them was like, what is something I wish you would have asked? That was the one because I get that all the time. Mm-hmm. Product manager, I'm going to add another one, program manager, and then project manager. People use them interchangeably. I know for me, like working at a big enterprise, you know, company like Home Depot or whatever, we have all of them. And then when you look at like the scope of what some of them do, they're just throwing the word around, like we're doing the same thing or whatever. So I would say project management actually is what I was introduced to prior to being a product manager, and started looking at all of the books and everything to study to get my PMP. And I'm like, this is a lot, a lot of studying to get a PMP. But a project manager is, you can actually have one in tech, in construction, and, you know, it's a basically overseeing large scale products, but it's mainly like overseeing the budget, like overseeing the timeline. And then a product can fit inside of a project. So we have a project manager who oversees like our entire portfolio. And then my product is within that portfolio. So as a product manager, basically I am like driving the end-to-end life cycle, you know, of a product, of a software. My day-to-day is a lot of meetings, like meetings all day. Meeting with engineers about, you know, any issues with the software that they're building, you know, any issues with testing, meeting with the stakeholders about things that they want or need or want to see from the product, meeting with like other products within the portfolio who also may be upstream or downstream, that's a little technical, from my product, that because I work on a heavily back end product. So it's a lot of
wait for the listeners, you know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and give them some game. Look at you using all your jargon. What does that mean, back end? What does that mean?
Okay, so I work on the back end of a payments application at Home Depot. And basically when we say back end, when you think about like a product and like the cool way that product management is really sold to people, like, yeah, you know, you're building something and, you know, you get to pick all of the designs and the features and make it do this and make it do that. I don't really do any of that because we are really like calling, you know, API gateway or, you know, like creating routes for payments. Like it's heavily architecture on the back end, but we have like a micro UI like this big that would be, you know, on embedded into like, you know, someone's page. But I don't work on like a super fancy, you know, people think about like the product managers at TikTok and Instagram, you know, like, oh, I'm responsible for this and that. I work on a very, very, very back end. Some people might even consider a little bit boring for a product manager, you know, because I'm not getting to be heavily involved in like design and UX and all that. But for me, I actually enjoy it because it puts me really, really close to the code, you know, without actually knowing how to code.
So, code adjacent.
Code adjacent. Yes. Very code adjacent. But I learned so much. Honestly, I kind of prefer it because I've had experience with like, you know, front end and a little bit of both. I don't know. I prefer the back end. It's kind of like you hidden, but you're controlling everything on the outside. You know, like, you know, when
the puppet master.
Yeah, like, you know, when you swipe your card to pay for something, my app on the back end is making sure that it's being routed a certain way, that your numbers on your credit card are being encrypted into a token and then come back so that we don't see, you know, your credit card information and it's PCI compliant. Like, it's on the back end, but it's super important if you care about swiping your credit card at the Home Depot and not having
the gunshots. Yeah. Yeah. That was like, you know, if you watching battle rap. Like, man, talk that PCI talk. You talking that PCI talk, that because
PCI clients talk for real. Like, it's serious, you know, it costs a lot of money.
It's a bag.
So, I work on app that is very very much dedicated to creating PCI compliance at Home Depot. So yeah, a lot of meetings. You know, we do daily stand up, you know, if you're familiar with like Agile or Scrum, we do a daily stand up, a daily parking lot. Yeah. we do parking lot, you know, I'm responsible for the backlog in Jira, you know, all of our stories that we're working on. I'm responsible for, you know, backlog refinement. Basically full Scrum, you know, they don't necessarily lean that much into Scrum as much more as they do maybe just like being lean or agile, but we still do all of the Scrum ceremonies. You know, we do a retro, we demo. It's really hard to demo on the back end, but, you know, again, it puts me code adjacent. So I just trust that the engineers are doing what needs to be done. But yeah. And then other than that, like I said, it's just you in meetings all day. You got to really, I think going to school and getting a degree in communications, and I'm like, well, I'm not even using this degree. And I'm like, yes, I am. I have to give presentations all the time, always talking, always, you know, trying to build that social capital, you know, with other, like other teams within the organization. So
yeah,
that's pretty much my day to day.
Yeah. See, I hate, okay, so I'm knocking on wood. I don't like my meetings because I don't like what I do. So that's why I really don't like meetings. Yeah. I recently switched. Like, this will be the first year I did like two different jobs in a year, like at two different companies. Pretty much, I guess you would consider them competitors, you know, to say the least. But I'm working on that because like right now I do more GRC stuff, which is Well, what I'm doing with the GRC part is not what I like. If I was dealing with more cybersecurity related, like threats type of stuff, I probably would like it more, maybe some even like more auditing of like accounts and crap, but I'm not doing that. It's easy, but it's not
for me. We work really closely with cyber actually because we're PCI compliant. Like we're so heavily focused on that with our app. So we get Archer findings all the time.
I use Archer every day.
Yeah, we get Archer findings that we have to remediate, you know, to make sure that enemy can be the smallest thing. But I mean, being a product manager, I will say it has exposed me to so many other like avenues within tech because I can put all the pieces together like, oh, this is what you all are doing in cyber. You're sending us these security findings, you know, from any type of threat detection that they, you know, may say, hey, there you have a vulnerability here. You might want to remediate that. You know, we work really closely with DevOps for our applications to try and get those to be more automated so that we don't have to, you know, continue to spend so much time on them. Like I'm exposed to so many different avenues of it. And that's one of the good things that I like about being a product manager is because if I ever really were to like pivot, you know, I think I'm getting exposure. Yeah. In so many different avenues and I can kind of weed out like, yeah, that's not for me.
And that's the thing for me, getting to the next question is like, I always tell people too, it's like, man, really just try to get in because what you think you might like, you might not like it, but you might like something else once you start. Like I did one of my couple of episodes ago, I did on Identity and Access Management. You know, my former coworkers, why she's like, you know what? I think I want to do IAM. And before this, she's been doing like a lot of vulnerability management stuff. Yeah. And pretty much some SIM engineering. And so the fact, like I always tell people, that's why I just try to get so many different type of job roles on here. Like for the listeners and the watchers to see like, you know, so many different things. It ain't just, you know, people with hoodies on hacking, you know, to be in tech. And I also like, I forgot what episode it was, but I was trying to tell people like everybody's like functionality is to either, you know, keep something safe and also help the company to keep on making money and profit. That's the main goal. And if everybody understand that, you know, you realize ain't nobody really no more important than the other. I don't care if it go from the person you call for the call center for about your benefits being messed up to, you know, the highest of, you know, exec person, like everybody is like all in it together. I mean, now pay ranges is different, but at the same time, just you can't really do everything without having those people.
Towards the common cause. And I have to meet all the time with like, with cyber, because they will say, you know, hey, we realize we got a new, you know, some fraud going on, and this is the pattern that we're noticing, you know, like, can you all help us kind of, you know, talk through, like the architecture of your app so that we can understand how this may be happening. So I have to have so much communication with other teams all the time. But really, and I'm kind of, sometimes I'm kind of like, well, what does this have to do with me? But then when they kind of get through it, I'm like, oh, I see, you know, so it is a lot of collaborative, you know, collaborative communication for real.
Yeah, definitely. But, so let's get into the next question real quick. It's like, how is it being a Black woman in corporate America? Oh, you know what? Hang on. Wait, you know what? I didn't ask you. I got two things that I want to ask you this. I'm trying to do better. I forgot to write it in. For people. All right, I got two questions. One, what would be, and granted, we know this is based on range and where you stay, but like, let's say somebody, we can go from like entry level, mid level, senior level. Like, what would some decent product manager salaries be? And then what type of people make good product managers if they're looking like to pivot from different type of job roles? Those will be my two for this next question.
Okay. So I'll start with what type of people I think would make good product managers. I think, and like, if you're really good at communicating, it kind of goes to, I know you had a question about like what tools and things to use, and I kind of actually touch on it there. Like, being a product manager is less about like the tools in terms of like the physical tools of software, and more about like being able to be good at strategy, at planning, at kind of research, a ton of research, you know, kind of knowing a little bit of data. You kind of, I know how to code in SQL, I will say that. So knowing SQL is helpful, but it's a lot of communication and strategy. And I know that sounds like very broad, but really like my entire day is really like finding out a problem and then doing some research on it and then strategizing about how we can fix it and then communicating with another team on, you know, hey, we kind of need you all to collaborate with us on this, or communicating it out to my team. I really have to make sure that I'm organized and structured in doing that. And honestly, you can get kind of bored or burnt out, like if it really doesn't interest you. Like, honestly, some people are like, oh, you work in payments, you work on the back end of a PCI compliant app. And I'm like, I like this, you know. So you have to really keep yourself engaged as well, because I do think that people kind of make product management, I've seen it like, oh, it's just cool, you know, you get to really just own this and make it whatever you want it to be. And that's not true. Right. So, yeah, I would say, I think you really have to be a person that is really strategic, really, you know, you have to have managed something before. In terms of pay, you could start entry level, like as an associate product manager, probably around like 90, in the 80s, I think, as an associate. And that's like, you know, 0 to maybe 3 years of experience, you know, like 90K or so, depends, you know. There are like the bag I've seen for product management in terms of like, you know, becoming a senior. I mean, you're talking about like 160, 170, 200K, depending on where you are. Like, it's a, for a career field where you don't actually have to know how to code, it's very lucrative. And it's very necessary in most, you know, most companies that have software. So yeah, it's money to be made.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for the fact is like, if you require the people working on the apps and stuff to do this crap, the stuff will never get done. Like, so like, if they always having to update and do all this other stuff, nothing would get done. So that's dope. And then the last thing, I don't know why I'm thinking, and that's why I normally don't write questions down, because I think of the good ones as I'm talking. It's like, what would, I know we are talking about the ideal stuff. What, technically, you know what? You already answered that, you know, and I'll probably close out with that. So you know what? I'll leave it right there, and we'll go into pivoting from, and I guess you could say being a higher ed is kind of like corporate America. But pivoting from higher ed to now being in actual corporate America, How has your experience been as a Black woman? Like, you know, many microaggressions. Can I touch your hair? You know, the stuff that some of the things that y'all deal with, I don't really be dealing with that.
Yeah. You know what? I've been fortunate, like, in my time and being in tech to work 100% remotely. And so that is something that I do not, I don't miss any of that from working, you know, like in a more of a corporate space, whatever, because yeah, you know, a lot of the,
Now, if you guys are familiar with social media, most of the talk we see about is how to get into cybersecurity, how to get into tech. So a lot of entry level content. Well, if you aren't entry level anymore, then I have the course for you. I partnered with LinkedIn Learning to give you guys a course on how to advance your cybersecurity career. This course is a short course dedicated to show you things that I learned in my personal career journey that helped me go from being a help desk all the way to being a senior VP in a financial institution. So if you're ready to advance your career, then check out my LinkedIn Learning course. Link will be in the description.
Probably my very last job in higher ed as a director of career services. It was horrible. Like, it was horrible. All type of microaggressions, all type of just, it was the worst. That probably was the point where I was like, I don't really need to keep doing this. I can do something else. I'm young. I can do something else, you know, because one thing about like me being so young, working in higher ed was like, most of the time when you think about somebody who works at a college, you think about like an older professor or something, you know? So I always felt a little bit kind of out of place anyway. But, yeah, in terms of like my experience now, like in tech, obviously I don't see a lot of Black women all the time, in certain spaces. And so you really have to like find that community, but it has made my transition like from, you know, in the past like 3 years that I've transitioned into being in tech, it has made it so much more seamless because I've been able to just really connect with women, join like different organizations, like really find my community, even if it's not at my job, you know, but just like joining, you know, social media pages, like joining organizations where you can actually go and like do meetups and things like that. So I think the best thing about, I mean, probably that came out of the pandemic, but even just in being like working in tech and being able to be remote, you know, in certain organizations is like, it really protected Black women from having to deal with all of that stuff that we used to deal with so much in, you know, in an office. So that has really been great for my mental health. You know, I get to focus on doing my job.
Dope. That's dope. Yeah, man. I know for me, that's why... you know what? I'm going to the next question because I, you know, I'll be on here preaching. What's, you know, the most important lesson you learned over your career? And I know you're early on into your tech career, but if you feel like it's something important that you've already learned, you know, you can speak on that.
I've learned tons of things. And I mean, in tech, probably the number one thing that I've learned like so far is that like it's okay to not know everything because nobody does. Like we're all learning, like everything is changing constantly. Everything tech moves, it moves so fast. And so I used to feel like a real subject matter expert, like when I worked in higher ed, like, oh, I've done this for so long. I know the policies from the Department of Education. I know, you know, FERPA and all this other, you know, jargon from, you know, education that I really felt like I don't need to learn anything else. I know all of this. Coming into something where, I mean, it was literally like learning everything from the ground up. I had a lot of insecurity around like, I have to know everything, you know? And so I really had to let that go and realize that it's okay not to know everything. Just always have a willingness to like continue learning, be very curious. User resources. I don't have any problems now being like, can you explain this to me? Actually, I don't get it. Sorry. I don't code. I'm not an engineer. Like what's that mean? I'm going to say that all, you know, like I'm in business. What does that mean? And really just being consistent. Like whenever I decide that, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this, like stick with it. Even if it fails, you know, being okay with failing, being okay with, you know, maybe looking crazy because, you know, you didn't know what you were doing. But that's really been important to me, like just being able to succeed, like even through failure.
That's dope. Yeah. I mean, I got a video of someone I'm telling everybody. Like, I think it was like when I started my interview circuit back up and I was just like, hey, man, you ain't going to know everything in every interview, you know, and that's okay. Same thing go for tech. You ain't going to know everything. And that's the beauty of it, is the reason why I chose to come here, because I can't do things where it becomes mundane and easy. Mm-hmm. My mind starts shifting elsewhere and I get bored and I get agitated, which is kind of how I am, you know, day to day for the last couple of months.
That's how it felt to me, though. Like when I was like transitioning, I was like, okay, I'm like, what else can I learn about this? And I'm sure there was other stuff, but I was like, do I care anymore to keep learning this? But I have not in any way felt like that, like in the past few years of being in tech, that I'm just like getting burnt out on learning something. Like, it's too many lanes. You can learn whatever, like there's so much to learn. I learn stuff that's not even, I'm like, why am I learning this? I'm not going to do this. I just want to know. Like, I like, if somebody mentions something, I'm going to go research it. I might watch a video on a YouTube, read a book about it, whatever. I think truly, again, a part of like being a product manager, like you have to have that curiosity to keep learning.
Okay. I think this question will probably be a spice one, maybe. What's one thing about your job field, you know, of expertise that almost no one agrees with you about?
I struggle with answering that one.
You can skip it if you want to.
Yeah, we'll skip that one. I don't know. I struggle answering that one.
Got you. Okay. This is a fun one. I just recently started doing this one. Say, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
My mom is like a know-it-all. So you tell her something, she's going to go. It's probably where I got it from. She's going to go Google it, research
it. That slight mission going off right now.
I know, right? She's going to go Google, research all of it to make sure that she, you know. So if somebody asks her what I do, she's going to say, oh, yeah, she's a product manager and she's an agile, like, yeah. My dad going to be like, she's not with computers, you know. So a little bit of both, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How were they when you decided, hey, I don't want to do higher ed no more? Like, what were they was in support of that, or what did they do?
Yeah, they were kind of like, my mom was kind of like, okay, you learning something different? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do something totally different, you know? And honestly, kind of like watched it. And initially she just was like, what are you doing? What are you studying for? What are you, you know? But she knows me. Like if I say I'm going to do something different, I'm going to totally commit to it. And so now she's always like, you know, I just can't believe like you just changed your whole career and you do something totally different, you know? Like they're super supportive of it. And my dad is like a low key, like kind of like tech nerd himself. So he enjoys me, you know, talking about stuff with him as much as I can. Yeah. So, okay, yeah, it's been good.
Hopefully I can be like that with my girls one day. All right. So this one, because I asked you about this earlier a little bit, but like, what are like some underrated tools, softwares, or anything that you use like daily, you know, that's pretty much indispensable to your job?
Yeah. So I guess, and like, if I'm going to be technical about like what, you know, if someone were interested in being a product manager, like what they would need to know how to use, for sure, like Jira, Confluence. Obviously, you know, that's how we keep track of our backlog and user stories and all of that. Miro, we are constantly like, you know, designing on Miro or just kind of creating a quick diagram. Of
is that
product.
Like Visio?
Yes. I think so. I'm a little bit familiar with Visio, but I think so. Yeah. Cool. It's like a design. You can kind of collaborate. It's like a whiteboard. Yeah. So it's Visio. Yeah.
Like so flow Miro's charts like, and all that other stuff.
It's a whiteboard. Yep.
Okay.
So being, you know, whiteboards are important in product. Maybe like Figma for design. I don't heavily use Figma now, again, because I'm on like a very back end product. But when I was like front end, I had to always meet with UX, had to always use Figma. Those are like the main like actual software that someone like, if you really want to learn, you know, like learning about Jira, Confluence. But the rest, like I said, like knowing how to make a good presentation slide deck, because you always gonna have to present on your product. You're constantly having to present to your stakeholders, to, you know, management, leadership, like, this is what we've been working on, this is what it does, this is how it saved the company money, you know, this is how it cut down on, you know, risk and compliance and all that. So being a really good presenter and knowing how to make make a good slide deck, break things down so people understand them, throwing some visual effects in there, you know, making sure that you can really you're selling your product all the time, you know, to the stakeholders, to, you know, you're justifying why we need to get this done or why we spent this much time on it or why it costs this much money, you know? So being a good communicator, again, back to that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't say Outlook or Gmail or Slack or Zoom.
Everybody uses it. Like, obviously,
You'd be surprised. Some people don't know how to do some, like, you know, make templates to set out status updates, archive.
You're right. We are in Zoom. Actually, we are Teams. I take that back. We're in Teams all day.
I like Teams.
We are, sending emails all day via Outlook. You know, the normal, like, Microsoft Office, you know, type stuff that you need to know as well.
Okay. So I think I saw you one day on Instagram reading something, whatever. So what are like three books you recommend and why?
So I love to read. And so I'm like scale this down to, you know, I'm gonna scale this down to like product because we can talk about books all day. I'm a nerd.
Hey, it don't matter. You can do one from product. You can do one from like personal. I mean, it don't matter. Like I know my favorite books is right now, and they probably not even dealing with cybersecurity.
What's your favorite books right now?
It would have to be series. I would probably say like Anything by Carl Weber.
Okay, I used to love Carl Weber.
Yeah, I'm currently watching like The Family Business, like on BET Plus right now. They switched it up, but it got better. So I gave it a chance, and it got better. And it's freaking, I cannot think of his name, but I like him as an author too. He had this book called, was it not Married Men?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't think of it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's not Jerome Dickey, is it? That's not Eric Jerome Dickey, is it?
I want to say, I thought that was actually Carl Weber with that Married Man, but it could be Eric Jerome Dickey.
Well, no, Carl Weber has one Married Man, but then this person has one. It's kind of different. I think he used to be like four friends or something like that. One of them died, and then he had a little sister, and it was kind of like, oh, like they sister, one of the friends was talking to him. Oh, I know. That's a different artist, author, but I do know another author I like, Travis Hunter. I like him.
Okay.
And then I haven't read that book since high school. Like, it's funny. Like, if I was going like to my other side of me, and like people like, what you was reading? What in high school? Like, my mom read books.
What were you reading in high school?
So 1 week, or maybe I did it in 2 weeks. But my mom used to have all these books I know the author, so I would just get her books instead of like stuff at the library. And I started reading. I want to say I read Midnight in high school. Yeah, I read Midnight by Sister Soldier. So I was reading that big old book, and one of my other friends, she tried to read it and she couldn't get into it. I said, you got to keep reading. Once you get past this threshold, it's going to open up. You know, they got to set everything up in the beginning.
When did you graduate high school?
2010.
Okay. Because I just thought about that. Like when you said Midnight, I remember reading that.
And yeah, I was like, my mom had them.
Okay,
but I never read The Coldest Winter Ever. Like it's some books that I gotta actually go back through and read. I got whatever's back there. It's a bunch of different books that's back there that I can't remember. But I will say one of the good books I did read in grad school was I put it in my freaking LinkedIn Learning course, but it's about emotional intelligence and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a excellent book for anybody in that career to read because it really shows you how to interact with everybody else.
Yep. So I do have a couple for, honestly, like because you can scrum anything, but there's a book called Scrum, The Art of Doing Twice the Work in Half the Time. It teaches you really about like Scrum, but also again, it just really talks about like how you cut out the noise of like over engineering something. and just break it down. So that's one of my favorites. I actually have it right here. Oh, I actually have two of them that I would recommend right here.
While you were saying, I said I found something that's helped me in my career. Even though one of them is actually like personal, but this is pretty good. It's cheap. The Latte Factory.
Okay.
It's about saving. And this was the, what is this? This is an old study guide, but this book really like turned me into a beast.
Okay.
And then this one by Chris Sanders, Applied Network Security Monitoring. Like this one right here is tough. It's tough. So I know they was like, man, what the tech stuff at? I was like, there goes some stuff for y'all. I got some more books there in my freaking bag.
Scrum, The Art of Doing Twice the Work in Half the Time. I think this is really, like I said, and I got it all tabbed up and everything, but really good book. If like you're interested in software development or really just in tech, because like you said, you all do stand-ups and stuff. So that's kind of where that whole format comes from. If you want to get into product management, this is a good read, Cracking the PM Interview. They also have a Cracking the PM Career. Again, it's not like I've seen like Google, you know, product manager certifications, even like a lot of like colleges and stuff offer them. But I don't know if I could have learned. I've never taken one outside of like taking a product owner course, which is a little bit different. But I don't know if it's something that you can learn, like, you know, in a cert. So,
right.
Yeah, those are like a couple of what I would recommend.
And we're going to put those links in the description for the listeners and for the watchers. So you could go through and get those books if you're interested in product management or if you're trying to get on the blue team cybersecurity.
You said on the blue team?
Yeah. Blue team. Yeah. You know, because everybody's infatuated with red team. But blue team is more defense.
That's exactly the team. When I was just saying that a team had reached out to me last week about some fraud or like a threat detector, and they want, it was the red team. And I was like, who is the red team? And why are they scheduling a meeting with me? And that's what it was. So y'all are the blue team.
Yeah. Blue. So and like, I don't know how they came up with the colors, but blue is more defense. So it's more responsive. Well, kind of like a mix of being responsive and proactive. So you got like your SOC, your incident response, forensics, like all those different teams. And then there's some other teams with even in the blue team where they are pretty much making up. And somebody described this perfectly on, I don't know what podcast someone listened to, but it was like blue team is kind of like being, probably like being like a football head coach or a basketball coach where you have to design play. So like a blue team, you got like use cases and different playbooks. Like, so you're making different alerts based on certain threat actors that are out there that could possibly, you know, affect the company. And so you're making these and hopefully to catch them before they even like get close enough to affect anything. So you got to hope that they work. And it kind of reminds you like of a sport. Like you got to hope, let me see who everybody like right now is a QB, man. You gotta hope Mahomes throw that touchdown. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of similar like that. Like you gotta hope is where you gotta hope your, and then this is where, like you said, products and stuff come in. All these different tools that they spend money on with your SIMs, your vulnerability scanners, your firewalls, your IPSs, your IDSs, your EDR solutions, database management, like all these different tools you gotta make sure they're updated with the latest threat stuff as well, because all they're going to do is send all the logs in to the SOC so they can review them. And, you know, if something happened like right now, if it's probably somebody working right now that's seen something, they reaching out to somebody, because you don't want to be like Uber and have no breach. But that's a short term. But I'm glad you asked that, because me and my guy, Eric, you know, and for the people that's watching this, if y'all don't know, like y'all need to pull up to Afrotech, because me and Blue Team Thomas will be there. And I believe Ms. Courtney said she'll be there too.
I'll be there too.
Ask y'all jobs about the blue team. Right.
Ask y'all definitely pay for Afrotech.
Because they charging a lot just for a ticket. I'm just saying.
They are. But you know what? I'm glad that like companies are doing it. And not even, you know, giving you any hassle on it. I appreciate that. Because Afrotech expensive.
Right. So we got two last things I want to do, because you kind of said this earlier, but what's one question you wish I asked you and how would you have answered?
So yeah, that was the one about maybe like, do you need a certification or something for a product? But, I don't know. I think that was the only, I thought of one earlier when I was doing something and I forgot. So I don't know, but that was the one, was about certification.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the cert.
Just because I have people asking that, and I know how you are. I've seen your social media about certs. I think like they ain't worth the paper they printed on, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's certain ones that's worth it. It's certain ones that you can't take unless you have a certain level of experience. It's certain ones that are actually practical. But then you got all these scammers that hit you up on LinkedIn trying to say, oh, you want these certs? And like try to get you certs and crap. So they lose their luster. Not to mention, if all you do is just cram some for a week or two and study, what did you really learn? And we know this from being in, you know, school. Like, what did we really learn in any of them classes that we had to study and take tests for?
So, no, I agree, for sure.
And so that's kind of how that goes. And like, people know me, like my TikTok right now, I put people on blast. If I feel like you're trying to take advantage of people, because, you know, it's this economy, this inflation is crazy. So to just try to get, you know, a bag off people.
Like charging them for.
Well, I don't care about anybody charging anything. Cause like I said, for me, I charge for my services. I don't care what your price is. Your price is, you know, your price. I ain't finna go tell, you know, Rolls Royce they charging too much, Mercedes, or go into a store I can't afford and say, hey, y'all need to give me a discount. Which I do hate when people hit me up and say, I need a discount. Like, kill yourself. Yeah. But no, it's like if you don't have anything to support what you're trying to charge for, and then you just want people to give you their money, and, you know, everything is not transparent when you offering services, I have an issue with that. I had a run-in one time with a woman, I guess, that was trying to help people become, what's the formal title for people that want to do Scrum? Scrum Masters, I believe.
Scrum Master, yeah.
And knowing from people that already do Scrum Master, it's like, first of all, it's hard to just go from a cert and then go be a Scrum Master. Like, you got to have some type of experience or know some stuff.
Transferable skills.
Right. Yeah. And so she was, I forgot how much it was. I can go dig up all the stuff on like how much it was to even just meet with her and all this other stuff. But I was just like, hey, you know, what's the price? You know, what are reviews at? Who you help? And, you know, they wasn't answering. They was getting mad. But I'm like, I'm going to always ask the questions that the newbies don't ask because they don't know. They just hear everybody saying, hey, you can go be a Scrum Master. And like, I'll let you help you be a Scrum Master in 3 to 6 months. And then you're going to make six figures. That's all they hear. So they ready to give you the money, not knowing everything that they easy. Because there's most of the time it's too good to be true. It normally is.
And let's talk about that for a minute, because I did used to be a Scrum Master. Like when I first started out, I was a Scrum Master. I feel like learning Scrum was helpful for me, but I knew that that was like not it. Like I started as a Scrum Master just to apply it. And it was not very difficult for me to get a job again because I got transferable skills and I know how to talk. So I agree, like you can't just go out here and get these certs, especially if you are like non-technical, you really have to know how to talk to what you're doing, because it's different if you say, oh, I'm going to learn how to do this very technical thing. I'm going to learn how to code or this, whatever. You're going to get a job eventually with that skill. But if you just say, I'm going to go learn how to be a Scrum Master, which again, no, nothing technical involved in that. You're literally learning how to run like agile ceremonies. And again, Scrum is important. It helps companies save money and, you know, helps products be delivered faster. But truly, it's not something that you can just go and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go take this certification. I'm going to get a job as Scrum Master next week, because this is not how it's going to cut it. Now, yeah, you can. I think my first job as a Scrum Master was in the six figures. Like, it was. I was surprised. I was like, oh, okay. Y'all are going to pay
me
this.
But you already had experience from higher ed, though.
I had experience from working in the software, like in the software boot coding boot camp where I work, and also from working. I finessed the hell out of my resume from when I worked with that software that I like the software company that I work for, because I did a bunch of stuff and I was like, you know what? And they said I was a partnership manager. I was doing sales. Nope. I was doing all of this. Like, you know,
and that's the benefit of going somewhere. And here's a gem. Because who said this? I think Boyd Clueless said this too. And I've heard this before, and I do realize this because one of my, I think my second jobs, they was like a small company, but owned by a bigger company. Mm-hmm. If you can start somewhere off, start off somewhere small instead of trying to chase that big name and get your hands dirty and do a lot of different things, you're going to be more, you know, useful.
Yep. I remember like I was trying to create my own job, like at that company, you know, because it was, mm-hmm. like I said, it was small. Like I could call the CEO's cell phone, but you know, he was really like, oh, well, what do you want to do here? And I'm like, it's something I want to do. I can't put my hands on it. And like I said, now I'm thinking about it, that probably it was more along the lines of like product, but I was able to just get so close to it that I was like, oh, I can talk about this anywhere else, you know? So I do, I encourage people, you know, like I said, go get a cert if you want a cert, if it's going to help you get that level of knowledge, but everybody not built the same. Like you can't just go and get these certs and think you're going to get a job and make all this money. Sometimes I think, I don't know, controversial topic, whatever, but like tech content creators, they make it seem like that a lot. Like, look at what I got, you know, look at this car, look at this, you know, look at this bag I got and, you know, go get this and go get that. And then I have people, God, hit me up so much. And seriously, again, I'm not technical. Like I don't, you know, I could do SQL, but that are like, oh, what should I do? I want to go make all this money. Or they see like, you know, a little bit about how I live. And I'm like, everybody not built the same, you know?
Right. And then this one of the things we're going to lead them with, and then we'll probably do that topic more and definitely on the live stream to wherever you ain't doing that. You just pop up and actually really go off. And one of the things I talked about too is me and like and close friends talk about who actually do tech, which is all right. So two things I'm going to tell you guys about, like what's beneficial. It's like, you know, once you get a tech job, whatever you do, find you a group of like-minded individuals and you guys become tight. Because you'll keep each other accountable. You'll say, you know, if y'all talking about salaries, oh, that's too low. I wouldn't take that. They're paying you all these different things. That's going to help out. Because your regular friends make regular money and it's going to be hard to talk to them without sometimes sounding like you bragging or you trying to, you know, stunt on them, which is not the case. But they're not going to understand your problems. But what I would say is for y'all out here that really want to make all this money, I want you to know these roles that really pay all this money. You can let TikTok, the day in the life, fool you. Oh, today I just went, I got a latte and I got to work. I sat in my favorite cubicle. And
I'm not gonna lie, I love watching those videos, though.
This is the outfit I had on today. And this is why I went to lunch. I just want to let you know, when you really up there and you in them senior levels and whatever they got you marked internally HR-wise and they paying you big bucks, you're going to be busy. She, like mm-hmm. she said, she got meetings all the time. They steady throwing me in meetings. What I didn't say while she was really like, you know, she really was going in. I didn't say like they didn't pretty much kind of made me like a product manager over a freaking process. That's like they just be adding stuff onto my plate because I came in. Yeah. I work for a banking company, so I come in VP level. So they just be throwing stuff at me on top of all these different meetings and stuff I'd be mm-hmm. on. So you stay busy. So it ain't finna be like you're going to be working an hour and then you finna just do whatever you want to do. There are jobs like that where you just have to solve your problems and you're good. But if you got like a more of a soft skill communication focused role, it's gonna mm-hmm. be hard to you do because people are gonna be want to talk. And a lot of these companies ran by old people. So it ain't people like us saying, hey, look, bump the meetings. Like for me, look, this is what I suggested at work. I said, hey man, can we use Loom? Like instead of all these meetings, whatever question you got, make the Loom video. I'll ask the questions on Loom. We'll answer them 5-10 minutes in the meeting and then we done. That's what type of time I want to be on. Yeah, I use Loom for my resume reviews and other stuff. It's like simpler because in real time, if I say something about your resume, you can ask a question right there. And it'll say at that time stamp you ask a question.
Yeah, no, I agree with that for sure because I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, again, in doing my research and becoming a product manager, you know, I'm looking at social media, you know, I'm looking at YouTube, you know, really mm-hmm. like, okay, well, what does a day in your life look like? You know, if it's because I think this is what I do from my what I want to do for my research. But like, what does this actually look like? You find so many little videos again, like, oh, my gosh, guys, this is what I did today. Again, like, you know, oh, I met with my boss. Oh, we did this. Oh, we did that. And I have yet to have a day where it looks like what I have seen on social media mm-hmm. or on YouTube, you know, and it's And that's just being straight up, like, when, like, it's a very, very busy, busy job. Meetings constantly being thrown on your calendar. You know, again, I enjoy it. Like, I really do, because, again, I'm like a very curious person.
And you're interested in the technology you're dealing with. See, that's the key. And I tell people, hey, you could try to just do it for the money. That's only going to last so long. If you're a person that got to be fulfilled, it's not going to last long.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested in it. Like, you know, the more we iterate on it, the more I'm like, okay, like, okay, we're doing this. When I see the bigger picture of, like, look at how much money we saved Home Depot. Like, look at how many of our customers we kept from, you know, having their credit card information stolen. You know, like, that for me is fulfilling, but also, like, to know that I'm playing a part in contributing to that, like, from all the way down from my one little product, you know, out of all the hundreds of products probably that are Home Depot. Yeah, like, I like this. So, don't let social media or anything kind of sway you when you really are looking at a job, any job, but mainly, you know, in tech, because I feel like that's the hot buzz thing right now on social media. Like, really do your research, understand how you are built and, like, what you really willing to do and deal with, because it's not all glamorous. You know, it's a lot of money to be made, but you got to work for this money, for real.
Right. Yeah. And, the last one's like, my biggest video on my channel right now is my day in the life video. And I got so many comments that were saying, dude, thank you for showing me what you actually do. Like, we got people, I'm tired of going to videos, seeing people brushing their teeth and walking their dog and making lunch.
Going to the gym.
Like,
and be like,
I may do one like that, but it's going to actually be like stuff that I also do. Like, that's the thing. Cause one of my advice for people is like, hey, go research some day in the life videos, find the people on LinkedIn, reach out to them. And build your network like that and see if they're going to help you figure out how you're going to get from A to B. But what would be the top three things that you would want to leave our viewers with? Like, if you could leave them with something, it don't matter. It could be motivational, whatever.
Yeah, I feel like, number one, if you can work a whole bunch of jobs at one time in tech, do it. Make all the money. Like, don't let nobody tell you that you can't do it unless they fire you. I believe in tech stacking. Number two, I would say, again, like, don't let social media, like, you know, try and tell you, number one, what you should be doing or what you're not doing, or end up, you know, getting you in something that you're really not built for. Like, really do the research. And number three, like, I think I said earlier, like, be okay with, like, failing, or, you know, okay, this isn't it. Like, maybe let me learn something else. Like, just be consistent. Yeah, and I think, like I said, go make all the money. It's out there.
Oh, yeah. That's dope, man. I'm just going to tell you in the words of the great Lil Wayne, stop letting the messy hoes mess with your business. But this has been another episode of the Textual Talk. You all know where y'all can find me. Courtney, where can they find you at online?
On Instagram, my name is Courtney B. Noen, CourtneyBKnowin, no G. Yeah, that's pretty much where I be. And at work, I be at these jobs, you know.
Can they, if it's a person that's interested in connecting with you professionally, can they find you on any LinkedIn?
I'm on LinkedIn. My name is Courtney Walker on LinkedIn. Courtney, CourtneyWalker, Walker, WALKER, or you can find me on Instagram. But yeah, connect with me. Ask me whatever questions that you have. I will try to, like, I get a lot just because, you know, I want to help people, but also I don't have a lot of time, sometimes as much time as I thought I had. But please connect with me, especially on LinkedIn. I love sharing resources. Love meeting new people. Hit me up at Afrotech. Yeah, all that.
Oh yeah, that's a bit, y'all. Hit me up at Afrotech. Matter of fact, and you made it to the end of this video, make sure you go ahead and check out my LinkedIn learning course, Advance Your Cybersecurity Career. That's be a tongue twister for me. When I was recording that, I kept on messing up on cybersecurity. But I appreciate y'all for rocking with us, man. And like I always say, let's stay textual.